And now, Wolf Bites Open Mic.
The Bass Jackers.
Just came home, actually, from tour.
Hey, guys, this is Phoenix Paul.
Hey, what's up? This is Sean Frank.
Wolf Bites DJs and your favorite artists.
Sophie Francis. Sophie, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, it's super nice to join you guys.
What's up, guys? This is Armin Van Buren.
Now, Open Mic.
All right. Hello, Wolf Bites Radio. It is DJ Flame, and thanks for joining on this another episode of Wolf Bites Open Mic. Today, I am with Lucas, also known as Laid Back Luke. He is a Dutch DJ producer, and we are fairly known from him on Wolf Bites Radio, especially with his new release that we will talk about here in a minute called Lost in the Crowd. So before we get into it, how are you doing today, Laid Back Luke?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Great to be here, and doing even better after hearing such a great intro as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And it's actually kind of funny. Me and Laid Back Luke was talking before we joined along, and I actually figured out that he recognized my last name, and it was from Germany. So it's pretty cool that, you know, it's very rare that people recognize your last name and think it's also like a Dutch last name too, which is pretty cool. So that actually kind of made my day just a little bit. So we have been promoting a lot with Lost in the Crowd. So we want to start off talking about Lost in the Crowd. So how has that experience with you been with that?
Well, it's interesting. I'm actually here because I caught an email from BJ saying, this sounds like the summer anthem to me. And I was like, man, I got to talk to these people. So thank you for the support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been playing it at the festivals all around the globe. Where was I? Sweden, Denmark, going to the UK coming weekend. And I have this thing that I'm doing. It's that I'm actually getting lost in the crowd, which is if I play the track, I'll get out of the decks and into the crowd, and just dancing with the crowd, getting lost in the crowd. And it's been sensational for me, I must say. I've never ever done anything like that. And I'm originally a raver, so to be back in the crowd, dancing to my own track with people that love partying with me, best feeling ever.
So what got you into Lost in the Crowd? I know before, is it going back off the Swedish House Mafia track, Leave the World Behind? Did that have any impact on getting into Lost in the Crowd?
100%. I need to tell you the story, because I had the session planned with Artie in LA, and we met up. He's known me for quite a while, and I, of course, know him. And we were just sitting, geeking out in the studio, doing all sorts of producer nerd talk, and it dawned to me how much of an iconic producer he is, classically trained. And man, he was just coming across so big and epic. I'm like, this is great. I'm working with him. And then for some reason, we spoke about the making of Leave the World Behind, which is when I was doing this with Swedish House Mafia. And all of a sudden, this iconic producer crumbled, and with a tear in his eye, he started telling me that that was the track that got him started at 15 years old. And I was like, dude, that's insane. Thank you for sharing that with me. So why don't we make a track like Leave the World Behind? Which was the next step. And he whipped up some chords. I love the chords. And he had a couple of vocals laying around. And then Lost in the Crowd came on. And I was like, that's it. That's the one. Let's layer this on top of the chords and take it from there. And mid-session, I also told him, like, hey, it kind of really sounds like Leave the World Behind. Like, should we continue this? And he's like, this is exactly what I want. I don't think it's an issue, because Leave the World Behind is your track as well. And I'm like, yeah, man, let's go for it.
So how was the experience with Artie with the collaboration? Was it like more of a family type bond right there? Or was it just like more of like, you know, coming together just to make a one of a time song?
Well, we're actually talking about doing a follow up. We just performed together in LA, and we were like, yeah, we gotta do more, because it was so seamless. He's a classically trained musician, which is super impressive. And he knows all about producing and everything, so it was really fun to produce with him. And yeah, both our forces combined, like we can whip up some bangers for sure.
Yeah, with Artie, he makes a lot of great anthems. It has great melodies and just emotional vocal moments. And from hearing Lost in the Crowd, and I gotta agree, it is definitely a summer hit, especially when it comes to younger audience like on the college campuses too. It's amazing. So what inspired you to make Lost in the Crowd, or just to create like an emotional melody for it?
Well, I do realize that both my following and Artie's following is very much in that progressive type of realm. So there was no way I was going to make Dutch House with him, for instance. And that was the angle. We were talking about progressive type of tracks until I brought up Leave the World Behind, and everything just flipped, and we went that route.
Awesome. So circling back to that, that was your first collaboration with Artie, if I'm not mistaken. And you mentioned that there may be like a comeback, like there will they like be like more sequel tracks that's related to Lost in the Crowd, or is it just going to be more different tracks that's just experimenting with new melodies with Artie?
We're going to experiment. And so I love taking it back to Artie's roots because I remember when he came up and what kind of impact he had. And I told him I want to take it there. I want to take it that route again. So I can't say anything more because I'll reveal a whole lot.
Yeah.
Just be on the lookout. And we're in and we're good to work together. And I think it's going to be iconic.
That's good. So, do you expect to have like a lot of more tracks with Artie or other artists, or are you just going to be with Artie just for now, and then maybe migrate around to different artists after?
Oh no, I love collaborating with people, working together with people, always, really. So no, you can always expect me to, but even younger talent, if there's something I love is promoting younger talent, pushing younger talent. So yeah, there's just way more to come, and it's all around.
Now, I know you like to do a lot of reimaging tracks, and you did many artists with such as David Guetta and Kylie Minogue as well. So, was that where you started your work? Was with just doing remix work and just redoing these tracks?
No, not at all. That's an interesting question because we live in the day and age where it's super hype right now to do that because
Mm-hmm.
it's so nostalgic. But I would say, so for instance, Show Me Love, how that came to be was purely by accident. And it wasn't even Steve Angelo and my idea to remake Show Me Love because we made the track B.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this Show Me Love version by Mobin Masters. And it was Hardwell that put the two together. And it was that version that I started playing out. And that became viral in 2009 when there was no such thing as viral. And because of that, we smashed every club and every festival on the globe with that for a good 2 years. And then I turned to Steve. I was like, dude, we got to make this an official version. And how else to make an official version than to have the actual Robin S on there? And so that came to be really. And I don't mind revamping older tracks, but it's definitely not the focus. So yeah, I'm just all around. For instance, the release before Lost in the Crowd was a track I did with Magisto, whole new talent, has no real vocal in it, just dirty, dirty synths. And yeah, it can go both ways.
Today, I know a lot of music today is mainly of doing the nostalgic feeling, and they'll take a melody from one song and then they'll redo it and make it either new lyrics or something like that. I know a big one within the past few years is David Guetta with "I'm Good," going back to the '90s Euro pop vibe and so forth and so on. So it's a lot of nostalgic work that comes into remixes.
Yep, I agree.
So you started DJing at a teenager. So what sparked the idea of just getting, starting to learn DJing and what to do with like, mixing songs?
Well, I was a producer first, actually.
Oh, you were?
I started producing when I was 15 years old, and then I started putting records out when I was 18. And by the time I was 18, my then girlfriend, she bought a pair of decks, like a mixer and turntables, and she was going to be a DJ. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. Like, good luck to you and good luck with practicing. She tried it once. She couldn't do a mix. She threw her headphones in the corner of the room and said, I'm done. I'm never going to DJ again. And I was looking at these decks and the mixer just sitting there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. I gave it a shot. I could mix instantly. And I was like, man, this is amazing. Got totally hooked. And furthermore, now I knew what DJs needed in my productions. And when I dive into something, it's all or nothing. And so I fully immersed myself into learning everything I could about DJing. And that's how I started.
Wow. So just finding just so like the girlfriend at the time tried it out, wasn't for her. And then you're like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. You put your hands on it, and then you're like, you know, this ain't bad. And then that's what got you where it was today.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is pretty cool. So like, how did like your first record come out? Like, how did that come about? How long did it take you to learn to like, you know, start producing and just releasing?
Well, it's interesting because this feeds into the legacy that I've left behind by mentoring a whole lot of talents, amongst a few of them are really big names that you know of. Avicii was my student, for instance, but
Oh.
Afrojack as well. That stems from my mentor in dance music, who's one half of Chocolate Puma. His name is Gaston. And when I was a pesky teenager, he took me under his wing, and I mean pesky by I was a kid that was like, "Hey, can you listen to my demo? Listen to my demo." Followed it up and everything, but my demos kind of sucked. But he heard talent, and so he took me under his wing, and he took a good 2 to 3 years to properly train me in producing. And then after 3 years, I was ready, and he said, "Well, here's a record deal, and go and release your tracks."
So is it, do you think it's essential like for these new DJs to have like a mentor or just to start to be with people that can help them go into the big leagues?
Oh, it helps so much. It helps so much. This is what I did with my record label Mixmash as well, is to give these kids a platform, but also just like on a one-to-one base, like tell them the pitfalls of the industry and how to get contacts. And for instance, here's a very simple hack. And if you ever check out my YouTube channel, I am full of hacks and I love sharing it with the world. But there's plenty of times I come across producers and even famous producers, and they'll say, "I have no DJ bookings. I have no shows. Like, how do I get those?" And my first question will be like, "Hey, I know you make amazing music, but who's your booking agent?" And they're like, "Well, I have no booking agent." And I'm like, "There's your point. That's why you don't have shows." And there's many hacks like that. You would need a manager, you would need a PR agent, you might need a social media manager. And when you see people on the top, it's not just the one artist, it's actually a whole team around them, multiple teams that can create this career.
So mainly it's just mainly putting your word out, right? Just like reaching out to many people as much as you can and just seeing who like basically wants to team up with you and just like figure out, you know, start very small and then slowly build your way up.
Yes, but what I like to add on to that is that 50% of your opportunities is with people that will grant you the opportunity. So just like you said, it is super important to network and be in touch with people, build relationships. And obviously, you will need to be able to back it up with numbers on socials, but music quality as well, DJ skills and personality and that sort of thing. But networking is a huge part of it.
Now, if I didn't mistake, he said that you mentored Avicii before when he was. How was that, and how did that come about?
Well, it's interesting. So what a whole lot of people don't know is that Avicii is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, I have at least 500 kids under him that never made it, whom I also guided. And he was special in a sense that he could handle my unfiltered criticism. Being from Europe and being Dutch, I don't hold back. I
Yeah.
shoot straight from the hip. And I remember the majority of the times that I told him that his bass line sucked or that he needed to change styles and that this wasn't the style for him. And he just always listened. He always took my advice. And then the next week he was back with three new demos. And each and every week he improved. I sometimes thought that he didn't have a life because he was just stuck in the studio making tracks. And throughout the years he just became more and more incredible, and all of a sudden he was there.
It's funny because you're the first one that I talked to that actually mentioned a lot of criticism when it comes to, newer DJs that want that's under their mentors. And I do agree that today, like, criticism is, even it can be harsh, it can actually inspire you. It's okay to take what you got, scrap it, and make something new, or just take what you think is bad, redo it, and then you know what, maybe this doesn't sound as bad after all. And I think, do you, when it comes to that, do you feel like, if someone is really interested in doing producing or DJing, do you think it's maybe like a calling, or is it something that they want to do as a hobby, or more of, if the more they do it, the more they can get into it?
Okay, I'll answer that in a moment, which is a really great question. So from a mentor side of things, the reason why you have someone under your wing is because you believe in them. And so everything you tell them, even though it's harsh criticism, it's just like a coach. It's for them to get better. The only thing you want is for them to get better. And if they listen, they will get there. So that's where I'm coming from with that. And when it comes to someone that feels that it's a calling for them to make music and to DJ and to be out there, I am fully for it. I am that type of person myself as well. I had the arrogancy to dream big. My dad was never for my career, for instance. My dad was never for me becoming an artist. He said, why don't you go and pursue a normal job? And dude, you're so average. Like, just quit. That's literally what my dad said. And I told him this was motivation for me to show him that he was wrong. With every talent I come across, even strangers I come across, new talent, I will tell them, dude, you're worth it. Go and pursue your dream. If you think this is your dream, go and pursue it. There might be many pitfalls. There might be people telling you you can't do it. But if this is your calling, go for it 100%.
That's amazing. I enjoy, and I 100% agree. And that's for everything, just for the music world. And it's like a lot of artists, it's like their parents probably won't agree, saying, "Oh, this ain't, you won't make it there if you keep doing this." But you show them that, you take that motivation and then you put it out there, and then look where you are today, like probably several years down the road. You found that one big mentor, whether if it's like a bigger artist, make that network connection, and then you are there today. And I feel like the more I interview and talk with these artists, I can realize how important that networking is, and just reaching out, even though you feel like, oh, this may not happen, but taking your work and throwing it out there on an online platform, or sending out to others, you never know what could happen. And that's, I feel like it's also highly encouraging for the new DJs as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is how it goes.
So, going outside of DJing, I also heard that you were into Kung Fu. So, is that more of like something you do on your outside of time, or just as a hobby?
I would say it's my life next to my DJ life. I've been doing Kung Fu for 25 years now. I'm a Kung Fu teacher as well. I've competed at two world championships and other competitions. Won gold medals and stuff like that. I have Kung Fu students. So yeah, it's up there. But
So what got, oh, go ahead.
the most important thing for me about Kung Fu is that it keeps me mentally stable within this crazy DJ industry. I had a period in time where my Kung Fu teacher would start touring with me. And he would show me that there's pitfalls in this industry and how to prevent the burnout, how to go into situations being calm and without stress, and how to just stay grounded. And it's always been very powerful for me.
So what got you into doing Kung Fu?
Well, I'm a martial artist at heart. As a kid, I did karate basically my whole childhood, and before my black belt testing, I opted out. I was 14 years old, but because I opted out, I focused more on making music. Fast forward about 6 years later, I started my Kung Fu career and never looked back, really. And nowadays I'm hooked on BJJ, which I do extra, like grappling and ground fighting, almost 2 years in, and I enjoy it so much. And the listeners won't see it, but I came from training this morning. I actually have a black and blue eye.
Oh,
from the rolling sessions, but this is what I live for, man. That rush, that excitement, I love it.
Do you think that Kung Fu and you also being a producer has like a connection?
I think it's both on the very end of the other spectrum, but the connection is there where, man, this life gets so stressful and it can be insane. And especially as a touring DJ, when flights get delayed, you have trouble getting to the stage, you have stage problems. There's all sorts of things that can throw you off. And because of my Kung Fu, I usually just stay very calm and I see the situation from a distance, even when I'm in the situation. And it never really affects me, and I can always handle it with precision and calmness.
Is that also what led you to be a Kung Fu instructor as well? Is more of just helping the younger audience grow up into being a passionate, you know, a martial artist?
Yeah, it's interesting. I once spoke to a fellow DJ of mine, asking him, because he has as much experience in DJing as I have, asking him why he doesn't teach DJing, because I have a couple of online courses up and I'm always on YouTube spreading my information. And he said, but dude, I'm not a teacher. I can't do that. And I was just thinking, oh, shoot, you need to have teaching abilities to become a teacher. And here's the thing. I come from a line of family who are teachers. Uncles of mine that are teachers. My dad used to be a math teacher, and it runs in our family. And even my daughter is 12 years old, and when she learns something new, she'll sit me down. She's like, okay, dad, this is how it goes. This and that and this and that. And I'm like, wow, you sound like a YouTube tutorial right now. And it just runs in the family. So in everywhere I do that, even in my BJJ nowadays, when I learn something, I'll just pass on the knowledge. People are grateful, and I'm just a vessel, and yeah, I love teaching.
So I'm sure that teaching is what also got you into creating a YouTube channel, more of learning and doing tips and tricks when it comes to music producers. Now, have you had any like people that actually reached out to you that took your advice and became, you know, one of the bigger artists today?
Absolutely. I have an interesting story for you. So, and it's a story not many people know. So one of my students is De Oro as well.
Really?
Yeah. And at a certain point, I was in touch with him for about 2 years, 3 years in. And he said, Luke, I'm at a fork in the road right now. Should I keep pursuing my nursing career and play it safe? Or should I just fully go into DJing and producing? And he left it up to me to give him advice on that. Well, the rest is history, because obviously he didn't choose for nursing. But there's been questions like that by my students, and it goes deep, because they trust me that much that, you know, I've had a student of mine asking me if his girlfriend got pregnant and if they should keep the baby.
Mm.
And I said, keep the baby, who's now 9 years old or something.
So wow.
It's big things, and it's crazy how these people turn to me, but I'm happy they trust me with those decisions.
And it's amazing that someone that you found like very passionate with music or something, you get to know them and they'll become your coach or instructor when it comes to producing and leading you on to music. And it's not more just a coach. It becomes more of like, you know, someone you can turn to no matter what outside of music. And I feel like that's how correct me if I'm wrong, but how a lot of these artists get these connections as well and collaborations.
Oh, for sure. And when it comes to collaborations, I see it with my son. My son is 23. He's a producer as well. But he will literally go on Instagram and DM someone and it says, collab, bro. I'm like, dude, take it a little bit easy. You got to get to know these people. They got to know you. Be in touch for like half a year before you pop the question. Like, create some relationships. And that's what it's all about in the end, is like, you know, can you get along? Do you click? Do you think the other person vibes with you, and that sort of thing? You know, there's a bit more depth to it.
So is your son following your footsteps? And do you think your daughter might be able as well when it comes to producing?
Well, it's interesting, because my kids did inherit my creativity. when I see them creating things, it's like, man, that's so amazing that they can come up with these things. My daughter wants to be in a K-pop band. And excuse me. When it comes to my my son, he's kind of like carving out his own way. He is so fortunate he can just be backstage at Tomorrowland and big and meet the biggest DJs. And then when he comes across people, they'll say, "Dude, your dad is like the biggest DJ mentor in the industry. Wow, like you can learn everything from him." And he'll look at me and be like, "Wow, that's just my dad. That's my old man. Like I don't need anything from him." So he's carving his own route, and I'm proud that he's doing that. And I sometimes contact him. I'm like, "Dude, I have so much to share with you. Like you gotta hit me up."
Yeah. I feel like a lot of artists and their children, they when they're younger, they'll have like a lot of these core memories, and then when they get older, they'll take that and they'll come to something else. If it ain't just music, maybe it's something else in the art industry or something like that, and take that inspiration. You feel like, have you had any tracks that was like inspired by becoming a father or with your children?
Well, interestingly enough, I put out a track with my son, and I gave that collab to him for his 21st birthday. And yeah, we put out a track together, and it was basically me saying like, "Hey, I'm sorry I was touring all of these years. And I'm happy you're here now, and let's put out a track together." Cuz balancing family and the DJ tour life and the crazy life is hard. Has always been very hard for me and on my kids, and so yeah, it's the least I could do, and he was over the moon with that.
So how does it come when you're touring? What's like the best way to balance when it comes to family and touring?
I think the number one thing I can tell you, and this might go over your head, so when you're listening to this, I would advise you to listen back to this in like half a year or a couple of years. You are not the persona. You are not the artist. When you're on stage, you're the artist. When you get off stage, you're just you, plain old you. And when you remember that, then this industry can't mess with you, because you know you don't need to be that persona all the time. Just be you the majority of the time. Enjoy life a little bit. When you get on that stage, you're the act, and that's it.
It's great to hear a lot of these artists that say that, saying that, you know, yes, they are huge artists, they got, you know, records, they're releasing, producing a lot of hit songs, but outside of that, they also have their own, you know, family life. And it's great that they balance that. You know, once you're on stage or in like an audience or in front of an audience, that's your time to do music, but outside of that, that's when you can do other stuff, so like other hobbies, spend time with family or travel around. So
yeah, well, what messes me up if I don't separate those two. For instance, I was playing EDC main stage this year, and I knew that on the Monday I was going to go out and do groceries. So, you know, you're on the main stage, it's fireworks and everything, and then on Monday you're buying bread. That happened.
You'd be like, you'll be partying, and then the next day, like, oh, I got to go grocery shopping, or I got to do a few errands. It's fun how people can balance that. And I'm sure it does take a lot of practice and a lot of planning as well, and dedication to it.
Yeah, it can be a mental game for sure.
Awesome. So it looks like that we are running a little bit out of time. So before we head out, is there anything? I know you said we mentioned a lot of collabs with Artie, and we are super excited for that. Is there anything that we can expect from you coming with the rest of the year?
Yeah, I have a bunch of collabs lined up. Actually, a track with Tujamo. I'm teasing a bunch of my new tracks, which are, instead of a throwback sound, are a really modern sound, like very, very housey, very underground. I'm still sitting on this huge collab with Karta, who is a DJ from Shanghai, which I've been playing out, and then just touring, man, just testing these tracks out and being on my TikTok, seeing what clicks and whatnot, and it's been a great ride.
Super excited for that, and definitely we'll take a look at the social media, especially YouTube channel, because we love the teases. I mean, we understand that in the music industry, you can't release everything, but it's great to tease every now and then and wait until the release date, which that's I guess where the patience come in. But we are super excited for that and looking forward to the collabs, because especially with not only just for the younger audience with the school fall season coming out, but with everyone in general, it's always great to have like a summer fall anthem or just something within that period of life that they can have.
Yeah, man.
All right.
I always say tracks are packages of memories and energy, and
Totally.
so I hope people enjoy them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I know here, since we are a college radio station, we're do have a lot, a bit, most of our listeners are college students. So I know every year at the beginning of the year, we have a big festival that is called Rec Fest. And we'll have a lot of students that come in this big, it's like a huge training field that sports teams will train on. We'll have that field rented out, and we'll have like blow-ups, we'll have like food a lot of times, and this is where Wolf Bites has their music playing. So we'll have like a lot of speakers spread out like hundreds and hundreds of feet down the field, and this is when we'll blast a lot of these EDM tracks. And we feel like that
Hey.
these tracks, that's what makes the memories. The students coming into college, hanging out with friends, and they'll hear that one song, they'll be like, oh, this is an amazing song. That's a core memory right there.
Core
So
memories.
exactly.
I love that.
So thanks so much for joining along here. Is there anything else that you would like to add or anything before we sign off for today?
No, I just want to congratulate everyone that comes in and that is hearing this, and good luck on your college journey, and enjoy the parties as well. Hey.
Oh, that's what we're all about, is the parties and everything too. Well, Luke, thanks so much for joining along here. We are super excited to hear your future releases, and we'll definitely plan again to do a follow-up interview if you're good with that, and then go from there.
Sounds good. I'm here
All
for it.
right. Awesome. Appreciate you. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Wolf Bites Open Mic. And if you love this episode, make sure you check out our other episodes. It is available wherever you get your podcasts or at wolfbites.ncsu.edu. It is DJ Flame, and until next time.